everyone, this is Cindy Anderson, and welcome to another episode of One Mom to Another. Tonight, Stephanie and I are going to be discussing Halloween, talk a little bit about our own memories and family traditions, and talk about this year's Halloween and the season of COVID-19 and how we are adapting that celebration to the circumstances that in which we live these days. So Steph, let's just get into it. Halloween when you were a kid.
Halloween when I was a kid. So I should first start off by saying that Halloween is probably my second favorite holiday ever.
Yes, now I know that. I laugh because to me, my birthday is on November 1st. So to me growing up, Halloween was the day before my birthday. Like
birthday Eve, birthday why is everyone Eve. Spending time treating when you're preparing? To celebrate
my birthday. Yes, that's right.
No, I just love it. I feel like, as silly as it sounds, it like keeps that just that spark of childhood and imagination alive to this to this day that I am almost 40 years old. And on Halloween night, there's a part of me that just wants like witches and goblins and ghosts and vampires to be real. Like that, right. that deliciously scared feeling of like being a little spooked out, not the gross, horror, bloody, you know, right. But just the fun excitement of like the tingles and the shivers and the, I think ghosts are real, you know.
Right.
Moment. So that is, I love Halloween. In fact, I have already started decorating for it, which I feel like is probably influenced a little bit by COVID because I'm just ready for 2020 to be over. So I'm like, look, if we do Halloween in September, Thanksgiving in October, Christmas by November, by December 2020 is over.
Yes. I don't know. I might subscribe to that. We might just decorate for Halloween tomorrow.
But yes, yeah, so as a child, Halloween, I don't feel like stores, communities, our culture made nearly as big of a deal about it as we do now. And I think we have the fact that there was no Target around in the 80s.
Right.
You know, that didn't push the amazingly cute decorations that you now feel like your home isn't complete without. But in the Anderson household, we would go trick-or-treating. We would do jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah, jack-o'-lanterns every year. Now, when we lived in colder areas like Indiana and Ohio, we would do the jack-o'-lanterns and put them out, and they would last for a while. Our first Halloween in Texas, we did a jack-o'-lantern, and you know, it's still 90 degrees.
Right.
And so.
And cut gourds are just not.
No, they don't last. I went out the next day and looked at it on the porch, and it was shriveled. And so I learned I would buy the pumpkins, and then we would just sit them out on the porch because you, if you're going to enjoy them, that's what you have to do.
But, you know, as much as I love doing jack-o'-lanterns as a kid, I hate doing it now as an adult. And I know that sounds really contradictory because I just professed my love for this, you know, holiday.
Right. Right.
But apparently my love for the holiday does not supersede my concern for my children's appendages and digits and all, all 10 fingers by the end of the night.
Right. And they all think that they have master knife skills. And, you know, for you, you've got, you know, 4 or 5. I had 7, 6, 7. And they all want a knife, clear down to the 2-year-old.
They all want knives. None of them, then once they get the top off and they realize how hard it is to scrape out the inside of the jack-o'-lantern, actually want to scrape out the inside of the jack-o'-lantern. So guess who gets to do that? Mom and dad. So we're there scooping it out. Then, to help them put the face on, they draw it out and it's really cute, the little marker, and we tell them, okay, just follow the lines. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like writing on paper that you get to then take your eraser and erase if you mess up. Like if you cut into a pumpkin wrong,
that's it.
That's what your pumpkin looks like now.
That's it.
That is what you're stuck with.
Well, you just wonder if maybe, you know, the idea of just painting the faces on with Sharpies maybe is a good idea for the little ones.
Well, you reading my mind, this is exactly where I'm going with this. So after years of like tears because the pumpkin face didn't turn out the right way, and this led me to a pumpkin jack-o'-lantern revolution, was finding other ways to decorate those stupid pumpkins than knives and
And I've seen some really cute ones. I've seen some really darling ones that have been done.
Yeah. Pinterest is like full of them.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Full of them. So yeah, we've tried everything from like painting the pumpkin and just drawing on the faces and, mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. Using stencil just to kind of paint things. I mean, it's.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Well, you know, when I was a kid, my dad is an artist and it just was kind of his time to shine. And this was back when you could just freely go trick-or-treating all over the place and yeah. everybody, we didn't really decorate houses for Halloween, mm-hmm. but everybody, you know, everybody's porch was decorated. And mm-hmm. my dad would do these most elaborate things. He'd make these kind of trip wires so that when somebody passed a certain spot in our yard, that big, huge spider would come down in their face. And the cobwebs and yeah, scary yeah. music. And I mean, I don't know. It was, I can't even describe. Our porch was always quite phenomenal. And I had a lot of birthday parties with that kind of theme to it. And he turned our garage into some sort of a haunted house type of thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So those are fun memories for me. Now they are, again, connected to my birthday, but...
So you're like looking around, you're like, all this for me?
For
like,
me? But you know, it's interesting what trick-or-treating was like for me, what trick-or-treating was like for you. We lived in some areas in which they would designate a Halloween day. It was never on Halloween.
Right. They would choose like the certain Sunday of the month, right?
Right.
And be like, that's Halloween.
That's our Halloween. And designated times. Yeah. You know, that your kids could go out trick-or-treating, where when I was a kid, I mean, the minute it got dark, you know, yeah. until, you know, I don't yeah. know, midnight. And then trick-or-treating is for your kids. Now, I will say that there is one tradition that has lasted the three generations, and that is that the parents then get to raid the Halloween candy.
And I feel like it's one of those, like... time-honored traditions that you just don't understand it.
Right.
Cross the threshold.
That's right.
As a kid, it just looks like extortion.
Exactly. And as an adult,
it's taxation.
That's right. Yes.
Like, I'm sorry. Who bought that costume or put it together multiple times? Because it's not enough now to like, just go trick-or-treating, there's trunk-or-treating, there's school parades. And
what kind of parent would not inspect their child's candy and do test, making sure that it's safe and good?
That's so a fair point.
That's a tradition that I think that will be for all generations.
And I remember Weston 2 years ago looked at me and said, Mom, could you please just not eat any candy out of my bag? And I looked at him in his big, beautiful blue eyes, and his tender, innocent face, and I said, absolutely not.
That's funny. Now, you have in your house something that you guys do for all the holidays in your decorating that I think is really cool. Explain about your holiday tubs.
So these are kind of born of mine and my husband. His name is Ben's love for organization. Now, our house isn't always perfectly organized, but we both like to just, you know, when possible, have things organized. So yeah, we do. We have a bin for each holiday. And at this point in our marriage and family life, we have a few bins for each holiday because I like decorating for holidays. And it just makes it really easy. Like we don't ever have to go searching for the this's and that's for each holiday. We know exactly where it's going to be. And it makes the decorating and it makes the taking down just really easy.
Yeah, it's kind of fun because I was there, I think, for one of your babies during the Halloween to Thanksgiving tradition. And so you had all the Halloween decorations were out, Halloween books for the kids, mm-hmm. and you got the Halloween tub out, and then everything got taken down and put into the Halloween tub, and then the Thanksgiving tub came out with Thanksgiving books for the mm-hmm. kids, and yeah. things took on the walls, and it was just fine. You know, we didn't have the dollar store. That invention, dollar store and Target, because you can really find some really cute things and then things to decorate your home with and that don't cost a lot of money. And the box is also filled with the kids' decorations that they've made.
Yeah.
So that was really fun. And I thought that was a really good idea.
Yeah. And like as far as the decorating, like, I mean, especially when Ben and I first started out our little family, 90% of our decorations were construction paper.
Yeah.
I mean, I painstakingly cut out all these bats. I mean, they hung the bats from the ceiling. And so that cost us, you know, what, like a handful of dollars for black construction paper, you know. We even made little trash bag ghosts. So I took a white trash bag, cut it into little pieces, stuffed the head, you know, around. So there are some really inexpensive ways to just kind of add a little bit of fun and a little cute to your home.
Right.
If that's your thing. If it doesn't spark joy, then don't waste the time. But if it does spark joy, there's inexpensive ways to do it.
To get it done and have fun with it and involve the kids and I'd like to, because it wasn't overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, you put it, for me, decorating the home for a holiday is somewhat overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, and I found, I have a friend who had this really cute idea for holidays. If decorating a whole big house is overwhelming, or if you just don't want to decorate a whole big house.
Right.
She has a little table in her entryway where that's her holiday table. So she'll
put
some
holiday
on that little table. And so it's cute. They feel a little festive, but they don't take on this big, huge project that just sucks joy, you know, and energy and time out.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, the decorating too is fun, and the takedown is what's, for me, is what's hard as well. And so I just thought that was just a great way to make it not so overwhelming. You just had a place for it and all went there. We've talked about Halloween in our childhoods. We've talked about Halloween, you know, in normal times, but we are not in normal times.
No.
What are some adjustments you guys are making for COVID-19, and how do we celebrate these holidays in such a way that they're enjoyable and, you know, memorable in a time where, you know, a lot of towns are canceling trick or treat.
You know, so for right now, it's kind of hard to say, because our town and our neighborhood community has not come out with anything yet. My husband and I tend to be a little more on the conservative side for taking care of, you know, with COVID and social distancing. But I think even with all that, we are still going to participate in some way. I'm fine with kids going and trick-or-treating. They'll have masks on, you know, we'll help them take their turn at the door so that they're not standing around in big clusters. You know, if our neighborhood and community will let us trick-or-treat.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, every year we usually have families over and we do a big chili and hot dog dinner beforehand. And then the kids all get their costumes on, and it's this massive chaos of just fun. And we won't be able to do that this year. But I think the key to celebrating any holiday during COVID is going to be figure out what is at the heart of the holiday that you and your family truly love. And then start there and focus on what you can do with that, with what are your main love and your, you know, goal is for each holiday. And so I think for us, for Halloween, I mean, as silly as it sounds, I think it's the trick-or-treating, because my kids love it. And I love taking them. I think it's so fun to watch them do that. So we'll figure that out some way. So one way, if our community cancels it, I think we might do a friend, you know, trick-or-treating, where we just drive to different friends' homes and, you know, get candy and pass out.
And I was going to suggest that too. If you have families or friends that, you know, a lot of people have quarantine buddies and, you know, family and friends that they've done things with.
Yeah.
Go to their house and go trick or treating. Yeah. I think, you know, our family, loves movies.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of great, I mean, we would watch Hocus Pocus every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nightmare Before Christmas, Hotel Casper. Transylvania. I'm sorry, what?
Casper.
Oh, yes. Casper. And, you know, have a family movie night.
Yeah.
And with treats and things.
I'm going to introduce the girls to some classics this year.
Uh-huh.
We're going to watch The Rear Window. Jimmy Stewart.
Nice, yeah.
And Wait Until Dark with Audrey Hepburn.
Yes. Yes.
And,
Clue's
a classic.
Clue's a great classic.
I think we'll definitely start some movie marathon type, you know.
And my youngest my youngest daughter, Caroline, and my youngest child, Michael, I was talking to both of them, and they have small children. I said, well, why don't you go trick-or-treating from the different rooms in your house? They both have family members that live there that could be in charge of a room.
Yeah.
Close the doors and let the little kids knock on the doors, and you can open the door and let them say trick-or-treat. And
oh, that's really cute.
Yeah, just kind of trick-or-treat. I don't know that that would work for older children because they probably would not see the fun in that. And for little children, I mean, how many doors really do you have in a house that you could do that to? So little children, you know, three or four doors, and they'll think that was really fun. But
yeah,
that's anyway, I mean, I think it's kind of a season for thinking outside of the box, right?
Well, the other thing we thought we would do is, you know, if we still want to do something with friends, have it outside, do a fire pit, and then do pinatas. Now,
obviously, that's a good idea.
Malls, that's everyone clustering. So we thought we would like prepackage like gift bags. So they have the fun of like hitting it, watching it fall.
Yeah.
Adults can just hand out the prepackaged candy to the kids.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Those are great suggestions. Yeah. I think there's a way to do it. And I love what you said about, you know, decide what's at the heart. What is it that's the most important to you about that particular holiday, whether it's Halloween, Thanksgiving.
Because that's Christmas. Good advice, if I do say so myself. at any time when life is stressful and the holidays hit.
Yeah.
Because I think with any holiday, it's really easy to just get wrapped up in the fluff of it all. Which, I mean, I understand. As much as I love Halloween, the way that we celebrate it now is fluff. I mean, it absolutely is. But it's fun. But you don't have to get wrapped up in it and feel the stress to the point where it becomes a stressor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my advice to any time the holiday starts to feel stressful. Is focus on maybe one or two things that truly matter to your family for the holiday, and then just focus on those.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just really good life advice. Holidays are just can be overwhelming under the best of circumstances, and so to really get to the heart of it is a really great way to approach. Yeah. Holidays and life and everything else.
One of my favorite like kid traditions was even after it was all done and we're all there with our, you know, 20-pound pillow, you know, bag.
Pillowcase,
candy, you know, the all stuffed in the pillowcases, and we all just dumped our candy out on the floor, and then like the trading began. We would give the people on Wall Street a run for their money.
That's right.
Exchanging and trading. And it was just so fun to like barter and try to cheat the kids out of their, you know, really big king size with a whole bunch of like Smarties, right? Oh my gosh. Yes. But yet they're actually really good. I actually tried one last Halloween. I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're good. But when you're up against a king size, Hershey bar. Well,
and everyone walks away happy. You just, you know, suckered your younger sibling. You have a king size candy bar. They have 20 more pieces of candy than they, you know, gained 19 to them. That they're like sucker.
Oh, let's take a bit though here, and we've talked a little bit about, you know, ways to adapt for COVID-19. Let's talk about some old standards, things that are going to happen always.
Yeah.
Yeah. First, costumes.
Oh, they are so fun, but also the bane of like every parent's existence.
Right, trying to figure that out, what they're going to be for Halloween.
Because you have the classic, like, kid who tells you, you know, 10, 11 months out of the year, they know exactly what they want to be, and you get the costume all together, and then, you know, a week before showtime, they passionately, desperately want to be something else. You wanted to be a ballerina for exactly 11.5 months.
Yep.
Now you want to be a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
Female spin on a Ninja Turtle. I don't think so.
And it's never anything simple. And I'll tell you one thing I will say about Halloween when I was a kid, the costume choices. I mean, you had your basics, you had your ghost.
Right. Which was a sheet over your head.
Over your head. That's right.
Your mom cut holes out for you to breathe.
Exactly. I mean, you had a witch.
Which was probably what?
It's a black hat and a black dress. like you're done.
Maybe you're broke.
Yeah, I think most years I was a gypsy. We didn't talk about it throughout the year. It, like Halloween came and my mom's like, what do you want to be? And either you went to the store and bought those costumes with the nylon that is so hot to be in because you have to wear it over your clothes and that mask with the elastic, you know, the helmet.
Yeah.
With nothing but a little silver thing. I mean, the thing was broke before the...
Oh, right.
But I, for most years, I was a gypsy and I loved it because my mom had this big drawer of jewelry.
Right.
She put every necklace she owned on me and some sort of a really flowing skirt. And I don't know. I loved it.
Right.
So, but now, I mean, the costumes, I mean, they're like robots costumes. They move. Amazing.
Yeah. And I feel like, because not only now do you have really elaborate individual costumes, but it has become very, very popular over the last like 10-ish years to do like group themed costumes.
Yes.
Like your family.
Yeah.
I think are adorable. And like I said, as much as I love this holiday though, I have never gotten to that level with costumes.
Yeah.
That to me is a little bit overwhelming. But
yeah.
For people who enjoy it, I think it is so cute and so gosh.
So, it's so darling. Yeah, it would be overwhelming for me as well. But I love to see the pictures of it. It's just amazing what people can come up with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, for like people who are stressing about a costume, a tutu can be turned into anything. In fact, my daughter Brenna wanted to be Mario, but she wanted to be like a female spin on Mario. Mm-hmm. So she just had this really cute red shirt, blue suspenders, and a blue tutu with leggings, and it was most adorable.
Oh, darling. Yeah. Darling.
Yeah. Boom. Nailed it.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on haunted houses?
I
want nothing to do with them. I don't enjoy being afraid. I don't look for ways to get afraid.
I love being afraid. When I was younger, even then I didn't love the gory, bloody stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I loved even more so feeling afraid. But then I would almost like challenge myself to never scream. So it became like a personal battle, like my own Mount Everest within the haunted house. So I really love haunted houses because I love absolutely just being scared.
Yeah. It is not what I enjoy. I don't like surprises. I don't like people jumping out and yelling in my face. Like I don't like any of it.
I think that's like the best part. And like I said, I give myself like a gold star every time I cannot like scream or react.
Yeah.
It was like a personal thing. But I also think like, I love the idea of like those ghost tours you could go on to like, tour a place that's supposed to be haunted, that's not quite so gory and bloody. So if you wanted a little bit of like the scare without some of the yucky stuff that you can find in a haunted house, those, you know, guided ghost tours are kind of fun. And then, you know, even just looking up like every area has like local lore, you know, like you can kind of find out like what the legends are in your own area and see if there's any like spooky places, near where you live if you don't want to go spend money on a haunted house.
And I think probably, you know, this year maybe there'll be some limited stuff like that that is done, you know, COVID friendly kind of, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see.
You know, but this year maybe just won't be the year for the haunted houses. But
did you guys have haunted houses?
Yes. I want to say we did. And I never went to one. My friends and stuff would go and they would just talk about how fun it was. And I just got horrified. I thought, why would you sign up for that? And I don't know. I don't know what my deal is, but it was just not my idea of a fun time. But you know, William is like that too. My son, William, he doesn't like being afraid either. And when we would watch The Wizard of Oz, you know, he'd go dive underneath the couch when the Wicked Witch came out. So I think you're just born with either liking that rush or not.
Well, you know, our personal hero, you know, Anna Green Gables, one of my favorite phrases that she says is deliciously scared when she and, you know, Diana have gotten themselves
stuck in the woods with, you know, her swollen ankle, and she just says, deliciously scared.
That is a great, that, yeah. I don't like to be scared, but I like that. I like that phrase. Oh, Anne with an E.
Okay, can I tell you one tradition, though, that I think is the grossest Halloween tradition ever? And that is bobbing for apples.
Yeah, that won't be done this year.
And I never realized how disgusting it was until I was kind of an older teenager. And I went to a Halloween party, and I watched the kid in front of me down in the water with his whole face, his hair, everything just sloshing through the water, his hair product, you know, being washed out into the water, whatever cold he had that day or week,
in
the water, and like countless people using the same bucket of water and same apples that their mouths were like frantically trying to grab purchase of.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah.
Refill that water. They just bring up the next sucker who hasn't caught that cold yet. Like, here's a free cold.
And I think it's safe to say that there's that bobbing for apples
is awful.
Will not. Yeah. And it may be one of the casualties of COVID-19. I think in this awareness of where, how things get passed, that may never get brought back.
Yeah, as our new normal evolves, bobbing for apples.
Maybe instead of bobbing for the apples, you could pin the apple on the apple tree.
There you go. Well, okay. So here's a little bit of a tangent, a little soapbox, if you will. Here's what I don't love, though, is I feel like because now so much effort gets put into like decorating for Halloween and crazy costumes, which are fun, and all the hoopla, we almost have to then justify the effort. And I feel like it's now very typical to have like your family go to like, what are two different trunk or treats, and then go trick or treating. And in between there, smaller family parties. And, you know, just that to me is exhausting. And I would love also, if that was a casualty of COVID, that we just got back to like, choose one thing, choose one time that you put those costumes on your kid and go about it. Because then like I said, trick-or-treating is fun, but the amount of candy then you get from the multiple trunk-or-treats and the school play, you know, parties and the church parties, a little overwhelming.
Well, and I think that goes to back to the paring down and the deciding what's important to your family.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I do feel like we do tend to overschedule ourselves, and overscheduling ourselves in the holidays as well is another recipe for being overwhelmed.
Right. And just adding more to our plate that maybe we didn't really have room for.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. That's my advice, is choose one. Don't get sucked into the multiple week after week, weekend after weekend of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Halloween stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Simplify. Do what's important to you, what makes sense to you and your family, and don't worry about the rest of the stuff.
Yep.
Good advice. Hopefully we've given a lot of good suggestions for Halloween, and hope that everybody has a good and safe one for sure.
Yeah.
And that and in this time of unrest and uncertainty, that we can do these things that are normal and are loved, and do them in a way that brings joy into our lives and into our families' lives. And reach out. If you see somebody who's struggling this year, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, you know, reach out and help them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Figure their way through the holidays as well. Well, thanks so much for joining us on this fun conversation. Wish everybody a happy Halloween. And you can, as always, you can listen to this podcast and others on my website, onemomtoanother.com. And thanks for listening.